Congratulations on making it through your 9-5. My name is Carrington Harrison. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Coming up in just a bit, we will play for you our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, he and his wife and also the current owners of The Current have sat down with the WNBA about the possibility of an expansion team coming to Kansas City. We'll talk about that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. I also think that today is going to be the last baseball game of the season. Rob, I don't know if you know this, but any team that was down 0-3 in the World Series, they have never made it to Game 6. So the Yankees, in just winning today, would be doing something that no team has ever done in the history of the World Series. We'll see if they can pull that off today. They got Gerrit Cole going on the mound, and this is just an exciting time in sports. All right, this is what we'll do. Before I play for you our conversation about Patrick Mahomes, I will tell you the five things that I've learned about the Chiefs as we are at the halfway point of the season. I know the halfway point of the season has changed. They used to play 16 games. Now they play 17 games. Who knows what the halfway point is? I'll just pick at the end of week 8. All right, these are the things that I believe that we have learned about the Kansas City Chiefs over the course of the first 8 weeks of the NFL season. It is possible that their defense is even better now than it was last year. I think last year you could argue that the Chiefs had the best defense in the league. I think that last year you could argue that the Chiefs had the best unit in the National Football League. So whether you were talking all 32 offenses, all 32 defenses, whose offense or defense has played the best, I think you could have argued last year that the Chiefs were the absolute best in the National Football League. Their run defense has been special this year. We looked it up. If you take the seven teams that they have played and their starting running back, they have allowed 94 carries for 242 yards. The last 3 weeks, they held Alvin Kamara to 11 carries for 26 yards. Jordan Mason had 14 carries for 58 yards. And Alexander Mattison had 14 carries for 15 yards. The Raiders ran the ball three straight times from first and goal from the 3-yard lines, and they did not score. Their run defense has not been good. Their run defense has not been elite. Their run defense and their defense has been the best in the National Football League. Now, I'm not telling you something that you didn't already know, but the fact that this defense lost the pieces that they did, whether it is by injury, free agency, etc. You don't have Charles Aminuhu. You don't have L'Jarius Sneed. You had some injuries. You had some guys be banged up, and their defense has still continued playing at this level is incredible. So the number one thing I've learned is their defense really, really good. Second thing that I've learned so far through the first 8 weeks for the Kansas City Chiefs is we had a lot of debate about Chris Jones. Now, I know that no one wants to walk to the front of the line and take responsibility for their opinion, but I'm here every day. I saw the text line, and a lot of you did not want the Chiefs to re-sign Chris Jones. I know nobody wants to admit it now. Everybody was on the side of you have to pay him, but we all know that's not true. I hope that we have put those conversations to rest because Chris Jones has been worth every single penny. He is a first-team All-Pro. He is one of the best players in the entire National Football League. When they do the All-Pro list, and it's the All-22, basically, these are the 22 best players in the National Football League. Chris Jones' name is going to be on that list. He is a future Hall of Famer. He has been the best player on this defense. He is the catalyst to everything that they do. Chris Jones, at times, has been unstoppable on the defensive line. So we can talk about how great Patrick Mahomes is, and he's great. We could talk about Travis Kelce, and he is amazing. The best player on the Chiefs as of right now is Chris Jones. He has been that this entire season. He has been their most consistent player. He has been their most dominant player. He has been their most unstoppable player. Chris Jones has been worth every single penny, and it is a shame that any of us spent any amount of time debating whether or not the Chiefs should have paid him. Everything that Chris Jones said about his worth ended up being 100% accurate. There was a time there you guys thought Chris Jones was being crazy. You thought that Chris Jones was being greedy and being selfish for being asked to be compensated for what he is, the best. And eventually the Chiefs, they had to acknowledge it. I mean, yeah, no, you was right. You're the best. No, he is. He was. He got his money, and he is playing up to it. It's one thing to get the money, to get the bag. It is another thing to get the bag and feel like you were still getting better and improving. And that's what it looks like Chris Jones is doing. He has been in the middle of everything positive they have done defensively. I wanted to at least acknowledge Chris Jones in these five things. The third thing that I've learned about the Chiefs over the first 8 weeks of the NFL season is nothing's changed. Have you ever asked somebody how they're doing in life and they're like, the same? Like, hey, you still work at the same place? Yeah. Phone number's still the same? Yeah. You still work at the same job? Yeah. Everything's the same. Think about the conversations that we were having in March. Think about the conversations that we were having in August. Now think about the conversations that we are having at Halloween heading into the 1st of November. The teams that you thought were going to be good in the AFC are still good. The teams that you thought were going to be bad are still bad. The Chiefs are still running laps around all of the other teams that you thought were going to be legitimate contenders in the AFC. Baltimore is a really good team. Buffalo is a really good team. Houston, I think, has been pretty good this year. Kansas City, so far through the first half of the season, they have still proven that they are noticeably better than all of these other teams. We don't even got to spend any time talking about the AFC West. It doesn't matter what Denver has done to try to catch up. It doesn't matter what Las Vegas has done to catch up. It doesn't matter what my Los Angeles Chargers have done to try to keep up. The Chiefs are still light years ahead of all of those other teams. Light years, I tell you. The Chargers are not keeping it close in this division. Neither are the Broncos, and certainly not the Raiders. They're embarrassing. So the first three things is their defense might be even better. Chris Jones has been worth every single penny, and nothing has changed. The Chiefs still got the same address. They're still married to the same woman. They still work at the same job. They still got the same phone number. They still hang out with the same friends at the same hangout spot. Nothing has changed about the Kansas City Chiefs. Nothing has changed about the division. Nothing has changed about their circumstances over the first 2 months of the season. We talk a lot about injuries in the NFL, and we should. Injuries matter. They are very, very important. We also love to throw out the term next man up. Well, not all injuries are created equal, right? Like injuries to your quarterback, injuries to your star wide receiver, injuries to Aiden Hutchinson. There are different kind of injuries that your team is going to rack up over the course of the year. The Chiefs got really bit by the injury bug over the last 2 months. They've really been bit. Their number one running back, hurt. Their best wide receiver, hurt. Their second best wide receiver, hurt. Juju Smith-Schuster, hurt. Their number two corner, out. I mean, if I made you a list or told you to make me a list of the 10 most important members on the Kansas City Chiefs and asked you to hand it to me before the game against the Baltimore Ravens, if we now look at that list, we would probably scratch off six of those names as they did not play in the last Chiefs win. And the fact that the Chiefs have been able to hold this thing together and still be the best team in the National Football League with no Isaiah Pacheco, with no Rashee Rice, with no Hollywood Brown, with no Jalen Watson last week, with Joshua Williams leaving with an injury, that's pretty impressive. The Chiefs, right now, they are worse at, I would say, everything offensively that we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. They are worse at running the football because of the loss of Isaiah Pacheco. Their wide receiver room is not as good. They haven't gotten the production from tight end that we thought they were going to get at the very beginning of the season. They haven't gotten the same production from quarterback that we thought they were going to get. Every metric of their offense, they have been a little bit worse than we thought they were going to be. And they have still managed to be undefeated in the face of all of that because they have had guys step up in the face of all of the injuries. Next man up. And the last thing here before we play the Patrick Mahomes conversation is, this is it at left tackle. They're not getting Cam Robinson. They're not getting another starter. This is it. The Chiefs have spent resources on left tackle. I will never tell you that they haven't. You spent a top 60 pick on Kingsley Suamataia. You spent a top 100 pick on Wanye Morse. This is what you have. So you know what? Andy Heck, Andy Reid, you guys better coach him up because this is what you have. You have Wanye Morse at left tackle and you have Kingsley at left tackle and you still have to figure out a way to manage the penalties from Juwan Taylor, who is third in the National Football League this season with penalties, and you have gotten 14 penalties from either left tackle or right tackle. So I'm not saying that these are their Achilles heel and this is what is going to get them eliminated from the postseason. They have obviously found a way to manage it And the hope is that Wanye gets better with more experience. We'll talk about Anthony Richardson and some of the quarterback problems in the rest of the league, but Wanye still doesn't have a season of starts under his belt. Kingsley is now finishing his first 2 months in the National Football League and got benched in game number 2, and we haven't seen or heard from him since. So the Chiefs are just more inexperienced at left tackle than just about every other contending team in the National Football League. So the same way that we have given grace to Xavier Worthy and you expect him to grow over the course of the next couple of months, I think you have to give that same grace to Wanye Morris. I think you have to give that same grace to Kingsley if they put him back in the starting lineup. But this is what they have at left tackle. Right now, left tackle, I would say, is their lone question mark. I don't think there's any other question mark around the team that is not centered around injuries. When are they going to get Isaiah Pacheco back? When are they going to get Hollywood Brown back? Every other question that they have is centered around a guy getting back healthy and being inserted back into the lineup. Nobody's hurt at left tackle. Guys just aren't playing well at left tackle. But we call this the extended preseason, and we don't take these regular season games. Live or die, there's not too serious. Okay, that's perfectly fine. Let's have this conversation in a month. Let's have this conversation in 2 months. Where are they at left tackle, and are they better and are they improved? Because what the Chiefs are going to have to do is they're going to have to scheme around that they are, I would say, below average right now at left tackle. They are below average at left tackle. They're not league average. They're great at almost every other area of the offensive line. They are currently below average at left tackle, and there are no reinforcements coming. They went out and they got reinforcements for that wide receiver room. They are going to get better at running back over the course of the next month. They are going to get healthier, you would presume. I don't think the injury bug is going to keep biting the Chiefs the way that it has over the course of the first 8 games of the season. They will be fine in a lot of areas. They have to continue to coach up left tackle. Earlier today, we got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Yesterday was his big fundraiser for his charity, 15 of the Mahomies. And our conversation this week started with, how did it go?
It went great, man. It's always great to see all the support that we have in the community here for Kansas City. And it was the biggest one we've had yet, and it just keeps getting bigger. And it really is truly remarkable to see that everybody wants to come out and support not only me but the community and everybody that I work with. So it was a lot of fun.
We obviously know a lot of your on-the-field goals. What is a charity goal that you have? I got a chance to go to Indianapolis, and Peyton Manning has a children's hospital in Indianapolis. You have the ability to do very similar things here in Kansas City. What are some charity goals that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have, like, an ultimate goal of where I want it to end up at. I just want to keep growing it and just keep impacting kids from underserved communities and kids that just want to follow their dreams. And if I can keep doing that, then I think I will be happy with whatever the end goal ends up becoming.
You've built the park that's pretty close to the plaza. Now that Sterling and your little ones are getting old enough, have you had a chance to take them down there so they could play at the park?
Yeah, they've been able to play at the park. They enjoyed it. The hope is that I can keep doing stuff like that throughout the community. I mean, not only parks, but I've partnered with the Boys and Girls Club now, and we're going to try to help upgrade and keep those facilities at top-tier stuff. And so as long as we can keep improving stuff for kids to have the ability to go out there and follow their dreams and have fun and meet people and have new friends, I think that would be really cool to do.
You mentioned it a little bit about the growth you've seen in your charity over the years. How cool is it to see that community buy-in? It's not just your teammates. It's the community that has really come out to support your charity as well.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, that's the special thing about Kansas City is people care about each other and they want to improve everyone's lives. And so I think I went from like 407 people last year to almost 900 people this year. And so it just shows that this thing is growing, and it's not about just me. It's about the city of Kansas City and how special a place it is.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a few minutes. You mentioned growth. We have seen Chiefs fans go to opposing venues and sort of take it over. I don't think we've seen anything like we just saw on Sunday. It felt like a college coming to take over another team's home venue. It looked like it was 70-30, maybe 80-20 inside Allegiant Stadium on Sunday.
No, it was really cool to see. I mean, all that red in the away stadium. I mean, the Chiefs fans always travel well, but I think it was even more this last week. And so hopefully we can keep doing that. Obviously, we got the next 2 games at home. But as we keep traveling to other away stadiums, I hope the Chiefs Kingdom keeps traveling like that, because it definitely gives us an advantage.
A lot of people want your thoughts, I guess, on the trade of DeAndre Hopkins. It happened right after the last time that you and I got to speak. How rewarding is it? How exciting is it that you guys finally got him? You guys have kind of flirted with DeAndre Hopkins. You brought him in for a visit a couple years ago, and this time the deal came together.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I mean, obviously a great football player, but I've built a great relationship with him, and he sees the football game. He sees the game of football a lot like I do, and you saw that in the little bit of opportunities that he got throughout the game this last game. And so I think as we continue to get him more and more involved in the offense, you're going to see how special of a football player he is. And he wants to. He came here to win, and hopefully we can continue to do that. And he definitely has a good knack for getting open, which is going to help everybody on the football team.
You've communicated the respect that you have for him. How great is it that this is a guy that has never played with you before? I'm not sure what run-ins you guys had before him joining the team, but you can hear it in his voice that he has a great respect for you and what you guys as a team have been able to accomplish over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great football player, and I think when you get guys that have played a lot of great football in their career, they want to continue to go for that next challenge, and for him, it's to win the Super Bowl, and that's everybody's goal at the end of the day whenever you play the game of football. And so I think he's excited to be here. I think if you watch the tape, he got open a lot this last week. I think seeing that on tape is going to give me the confidence to give him more and more opportunities to go out there and make plays.
A lot of conversation has been made about Andy's offense and how difficult it is to kind of learn on the fly. How difficult do you think it will be to kind of get him adjusted and get him acclimated into the offense in the middle of the season?
I mean, if it's anything like last week, I think it's gonna be easy for him. I mean, he's a very smart guy. He has a good understanding. He's played in multiple different offenses with multiple different quarterbacks, so he has a good understanding of how to just get himself open and be in the right spot. And I mean, we actually, I think last week we were even surprised by how fast he was picking up stuff. And so, with a whole other week and an extra day, I think he's gonna be fine to go out there and get a full amount of work in order to be a big part of this offense.
Patrick, certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but I just can't think of you guys having too many receivers like DeAndre Hopkins, a little bit bigger, more of a contested catch guy. Normally you guys like the, you know, 6'1", wiry, kind of speedy guys, and that's not what he is. Is this a different receiver than you're kind of accustomed throwing to, or is there a comparison that you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different receiver. I mean, he's kind of a one-of-one receiver when it comes to being able to catch the jump ball, being able to get himself open in space. Be able to be one-on-one coverage. I mean, he's there's a reason that he's got all those all pros, and he's always been a great receiver. But I mean, he has a little bit of just kind of a mixture of a lot of guys that we have. I mean, Sammy Watkins, Juju. He's got the ability to win one-on-one like some other receivers that we had. I mean, it's hard to describe one guy because he's one of those type of receivers that only comes around once in a generation.
I saw that some of the other receivers were calling him Unc. I'm curious, how many more years in the league do you think it's going to be before there's going to be some young receiver that the Chiefs get and they're going to start calling you Unc?
It's not going to be many more. I mean, I'm still not very old. I mean, I'm only 29, but this is my eighth year in the NFL. So, I mean, a lot of these guys were in middle school or even low high school whenever I got in the NFL. So they've been seeing me play for a long time. So as the years go on here soon, they're gonna be calling me Unc for sure.
I've got a couple of Halloween questions to ask you. Are you more of a Scream person or a Saw guy?
I'm more Scream. I'm not a big scary movie person at all in general, but I would probably say Scream.
Let's say that you got cast in a scary movie. Maybe you wouldn't even agree to do it, but let's say you got cast. How confident are you that you would make it to the end of the movie?
I'm pretty confident because I think just in general I have a good of self-awareness and knowing where I'm at. But definitely, I don't know if I would win, but I would definitely make it the longest. But I feel like they're going to come get me, man. They're going to take me out. They know I'm going to be the guy that's leading us the right way.
Which one of you do you think would last longer in the movie, you or Travis? Because you've seen enough scary movies to know you can't have two athletes make it to the end of the movie. Somebody's not going to make it the long way. Who makes it the longest?
It's going to be 1,000% me because I'm going to be the one thinking. Trav's going to be the one that's just relying on instincts, and that's always how you get caught by yourself where the guy, the villain or whatever can go get you.
Yeah, Travis seems like the one that he would make the suggestion to split up, and you can never split up in these movies.
He's going to make the suggestion to split up. He's going to be like, let's go back in the house. I think if we go back in the house, we're going to be good. You know, Travis, man, he thinks on his feet, but sometimes it gets you in trouble.
All right, I have five candies I want to get your opinion on. I picked some of the, I don't want to say obscure candies, but maybe not the most popular candies. Let's start with Butterfinger. What's your verdict on Butterfinger?
They're all right.
Kit Kat.
I actually love Kit Kats. It's like one of my probably different candies I like than most people.
We actually had a guest on this week, or he said that Kit Kat was the best chocolate-based candy, so we have a one-week suspension where that he can't come on the show next week.
I don't know if it's the best chocolate-based, but I am a fan of the Kit Kat every now and then. It kind of throws a little change-up on your whole candy repertoire.
All right, Mike and Ike's.
I'm not a big fan of those, no.
All right, how about Hot Tamales?
Not a big fan of hot tamales either.
All right, Twizzlers.
I can eat a Twizzler, but it's not like that's my go-to. If it's around, I'll grab one.
Do you like Twizzler Pull and Peel? I actually like Pull and Peel more than I like the original Twizzlers.
I probably would say Pull and Peel is a little bit better.
All right, where are you at with the Nerd Gummies? Have you had these new Nerd Gummies?
Yeah, we had them. They had them in training camp. I mean, I definitely got a couple of them. They're pretty good. I mean, I'm not the biggest candy guy myself, but I have a couple candies that I just like, and I'll eat those. But I'm more of like a chocolate chip cookie type guy. Like if I'm going for any type of like dessert type food.
All right, last one is sweet tarts. What's your verdict on sweet tarts?
I used to love them when I was young. My dad loved them, so I would eat them a lot when I was young. So I would say they're pretty up there for me. But I haven't had them in a while, actually. Now that you say it.
Last couple questions here, Patrick, and I appreciate your time. I'm actually curious to get your opinion on this. You are somebody who your opinion, your voice matters. As you've sort of matured in your career, how do you make the determination of things that you want to speak up on?
I think it's just stuff that I feel like at that moment in time is something that I believe I need to speak up and use my platform. But I mean, it's such a hard thing to decide and make those choices, because it's not going to only impact you, but your family as well and everyone that's around you. So you have to kind of weigh all those decisions and then decide if it's the right time to make your voice known.
You obviously know the climate that we're in, and athletes are speaking up just almost every day. Do you ever feel a pressure to speak up? Do you ever feel like an outside force that people are sort of looking for you to give your thoughts on certain things?
I don't know if it's necessarily a pressure. I mean, I understand the platform that I have, and I understand if I wanted to or not, what I say is gonna kind of be out there for everyone to see, and it could impact other people and how they think. But I think my goal is just to try to be the best person that I can be at the end of the day. And even though it might not be 100% with everybody and what they agree, I'm gonna try to do whatever I can to make a positive impact in the world at the end of the day.
What are your Halloween plans?
Sterling really wanted to be a flamingo, so we have a whole type of flamingo and zoo animals type thing going on. That's our favorite animal, I guess. I guess a flamingo is an animal, and so we're doing that, and we'll go around trick or treating a little bit, and hopefully get a lot of good candy and not let Sterling and Bronze eat too much of it.
You've accomplished a lot of great challenges in your career. Making sure that your young daughter doesn't eat a lot of candy on Halloween, that might be your toughest feat.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be my son. My son, like, I don't know how he can just, like, sense it. Even if he hasn't had any type of sweet before, the moment he, like, smells it, he's like, I like that. So I got to try to keep him from getting all the candies and the desserts or whatever he gets for Halloween.
Well, I think we learned that you are not going to be giving Bronze any Mike and Ikes this year. That is Patrick Mahomes joining us on the show today as we get you ready for Monday Night Football. Patrick, man, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
That is a quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. If you missed any part of that conversation, be sure to check it out on the podcast page or on the app. Coming up on the other side, speaking of Patrick Mahomes, he, his wife, and the other part owners of the KC Current, they have inquired about bringing a WNBA team to Kansas City. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, let's talk about some breaking news that came across the desk earlier today. So the co-owners of the Current and also Patrick Mahomes and his wife Brittany, they have had a meeting with the WNBA about the possibility of bringing an expansion team to the league. So the WNBA, they are expanding to 14 teams. They are adding Golden State and also Toronto. So they are going to be the 13th and the 14th franchises. The league also wants to expand to two more teams to get it to 16 teams. They are in the process of, I think there's about 10 to maybe 8 to 10 cities that are in conversations of expanding to be the 15th and 16th WNBA franchise, you would have to think that Kansas City would be a pretty desirable market. It is a market that has already shown you great success with women's sports. It is the only city in the country, the only city in the world that has a venue that its sole purpose or primary purpose is for women's sports. And it does really, really well. It is also a market that enjoys basketball. So there are a lot of, I think, positives. You also think about the names and people that you are associating yourself with. And if Patrick Mahomes is on board, there is a certain level of star power and cachet that you bring to your league that is very attractive if you are in the way of expanding. I do not think that the NBA is coming to Kansas City in our lifetime. I think that time passed a long time ago. But I do think there is a very realistic chance that Kansas City gets a WNBA franchise. There are a couple of questions. I would say the biggest question is, where are they going to play? Are they going to build a new arena, or are they going to play at Silverstein Eye Center, Independence Event Center, whatever you still call it? Because those are the only options. I do not think they're playing in the T-Mobile Center. I think they could play a couple of games there. Sure, Caitlin Clark comes to town. Angel Reese comes to town. Could they move to a bigger venue to accommodate people? Sure. But I don't think that they are playing their primary home games at T-Mobile Center. I think they are going to pick a smaller, a more intimate environment. We looked this up earlier. The average attendance this past year of a WNBA game was a little below 10,000. So let's say that they get between 8 to 10,000 people on average. Sure, they'll do better than that sometimes. They'll do worse than that sometimes. That's how an average works. I just don't think the T-Mobile Center makes a lot of sense then for them if that's the case. Is Patrick Mahomes and his team, are they invested enough to build a new stadium for the WNBA team? Because that changes things. Are you now going to build a stadium that they house the WNBA team? We're also going to use it as a concert venue the way that they use Silverstein Eye Center. Are you also going to use it where you have regional tournaments, volleyball tournaments, basketball tournaments, indoor soccer? It can have a multiple purpose use. They are obviously very heavily invested in the area where the current stadiums. And there's a little bit of room over there that if you want to build another arena that's smaller, I think it could work. You got a casino right there, North Kansas City right there. They're building housing developments over there. I think it makes a lot of sense for Patrick Mahomes and for the group that owns the current that if you want to buy in even more into women's sports, this is the time to do it. There is a growth in the WNBA that is happening right now, and I don't want to say it's the ground floor because it's been around long enough, but I really think that we are in the middle of a revolution. People feel differently about women's sports now than they did 5-10 years ago. Caitlin Clark is a major part of that. I also just think that America treats women different now than they did 10-20 years ago. That I think Kansas City is a perfect market to add another women's sports team. And I think Kansas City, by and large, would be a great supporter and a great addition to the WNBA.
First and foremost, the utmost respect for Patrick Mahomes, because a lot of people, when they talk, they don't back it up. Patrick Mahomes this offseason, I think it was the Time 100 or 120, whatever the Time magazine thing he was at. I can pull the audio. You know what he said at that? We need to continue to support women's sports because it is the future. He was the part owner of the current at the time. He and his wife are now trying to bring a WNBA franchise to Kansas City. Like, that is the news that's reported. So, like, it is easy to talk about doing these things. Patrick Mahomes is about it. So I respect Patrick Mahomes beyond belief for backing up what he believes, what he said at the Time 100 celebration. Secondarily, I think if this happens, the ownership group has plans to bring a new arena in some form or fashion to the city. They're just, that's what they had. That was their long-term vision when they had the current. Their long-term vision was not sharing a stadium with the Monarchs. Their long-term vision was not sharing a stadium with Sporting Kansas City. No, they wanted to build a soccer-specific women's stadium, and they did it. If they were to get a WNBA franchise in Kansas City, I would imagine they have the same vision. So the question then becomes the where. Because I agree with you. Temporarily, Cable Dahmer's fine. Temporarily, Municipal's probably okay. big games, you can go to T-Mobile, you can make it work, and I don't think there'd be any problem. But that cannot be the 3-4-5 year plan for a new WNBA franchise in Kansas City. There is going to be a new arena if this bid happens and they get the team. So then the question becomes, where's that arena going to be? You mentioned the current stadium. I don't think if you are a person who owns and operates T-Mobile, you want any part of an arena right there. That is too close. That is, it is on, it's cannibalizing itself. Why? That's too close. So I think the question then becomes, where does it go?
Yeah, but I think, though, if we're talking about cannibalizing it, I don't know how that's any different than the fact that the Midland is right around the corner and both seem to operate very well.
The Midland's different because T-Mobile can have sports or concerts, which a new arena would also be able to. The Midland can never be like, hey, let's have the Conference USA tournament over there.
Yeah, you're right. But I would say, though, the level of artists that you were getting to go to the T-Mobile Center, that is not what we think that this is going to fit this. Drake is not performing at this 8,000-seat arena or Justin Timberlake that comes here in a couple of weeks. So I hear what you're saying. I don't know if that necessarily would be the thing. I'm also looking at it right now. The more and more I look at the Independence Event Center, I also don't think that's big enough either. Do you know what the attendance or I guess what the capacity is for a Mavericks game? I just looked it up. A sellout for the Mavericks is less than 6,000 fans.
Really?
A sellout for the Mavericks. I'm sitting here looking at it. Mavericks set a franchise attendance record. The Mavericks announced a sellout standing room only crowd. It was 5,858 fans. That is not enough for the WNBA.
Nope.
It's not even close to enough for the WNBA. Not even on a bad night, that's not enough. So I'm not even sure if Independence Event Center, even in a short-term temporary aspect, I'm not sure if Independence Event Center is big enough to do this. If they are going to do this, then I think they are going to have to build a specific arena, or they're just going to have to play at the T-Mobile Center, which I actually don't think works for them. I just think T-Mobile's too big of an arena, and I think if you were going to do what is... Let's call the WNBA what it is. And I enjoy watching the WNBA. It is a very, very niche sport. I think why the current works is they have built a stadium that really fits the experience of where you are. Their stadium is incredible. It is very, very local, and it fits. I think that's what they're going to have to do if they're really committed to making this WNBA thing work. If they really want to make it work in Kansas City, I think you either build a stadium that's right across from the current and you just make this a really progressive area. We've got the women's basketball court here. We've got the women's soccer stadium here. We are about women empowerment. Or you build a really, really nice stadium out in Johnson County. You build a really, really nice stadium out on 135th or somewhere in that area. I don't know my Kansas real estate the way that you do. You build a really, really nice venue over there that seats 11,000 people.
The Kansas side does just like based on proxy, like what they're looking for. I imagine. I think Kansas makes a lot of sense. Like maybe not, they're not going to come out and say that there's like seven steps ahead of that, but it would not surprise me if one day we get an alert. Patrick Mahomes, Brittany Mahomes, I believe it's the Long family or the other owners of the KC Current are breaking ground on X location in Kansas for the new WNBA arena. I think that is coming if the WNBA comes through. But in the short term, I think it would probably have to be municipal. It seems like it's the most likely if this were to come through.
We can keep talking about this on the other side. I am very interested in this, the fact that Patrick Mahomes and his team, they have reached out to the WNBA. I mean, the reports are that they have met with the WNBA. So they are having legitimate conversations about the WNBA and bringing a team to Kansas City. I am for it, and I really, really think that Kansas City would be a very, very strong addition to the WNBA. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We were talking about the possibility of Kansas City getting a WNBA team. Patrick Mahomes, his wife, and the co-owners of the Current have met with the WNBA about Kansas City becoming one of the expansion teams. Someone on the text line asked, CDOT, which one of these or what size arenas do the other 14 WNBA teams play in? So just to give you a kind of a, I guess, an example, the Chicago Sky with Angel Reese, they play in the same stadium as DePaul. So they do not play in the United Center where the Bulls play. They play in a separate, smaller arena. The Las Vegas Aces, the Las Vegas team, they play in Mandalay Bay. So they do not play in the T-Mobile arena where the big UFC fights, where the big boxing matches are. They play in a separate, smaller arena. The Connecticut Sun, the WNBA team, they play in the Mohegan Sun. They play in a casino. So a majority of these teams, I didn't go through every single team in the WNBA, but a majority of these teams already play in a smaller venue. I mean, ideally, Rob, to your point, there is a smaller venue. It's just old. If this was any other city, they would just play at Municipal. But I don't know if they're going to play at Municipal, or there would be a college that would make sense because it's big enough, kind of like with the Chicago Sky. Oh, well, the infrastructure is already here. We don't have to build a new stadium for this team. Let's just play where there's a D1 team in the city, like what's happened in Chicago. So I think that's going to end up being some of the challenges for them, I guess, in terms of growth and where they're going to potentially play if we even get a team.
I mean, let's just kicking the can down the road. If they were to do Municipal, which makes the most sense, that building would need massive renovation.
100%.
Right? Like,
maybe that's the plan. Maybe the plan is we already have all the infrastructure. We will just pump in $100 million into renovating Municipal Auditorium and make it more modern, and then that's where the team is going to play. That's a great option if that's what they want to do. It's already there. It's already downtown. We already know where it is. I mean, that'd be a great place to have a WNBA team. Are they willing to put that level of finances into Municipal, though?
Here's the million-dollar question, and possibly billion-dollar question. Wouldn't that need a vote? Like, I know we're like 5 and 6 steps down the road, but to renovate Municipal, to make it the stadium for the KC, whatever, was called the WNBA.
We never voted on the current. I mean,
yeah, but a renovation to a city building is different than building a new building. I don't think you can just be like, hey, the Long family and the Mahomes family decided, yo, we gutting this and we have the money. I would imagine, since that houses other city and civic events, that it is going to have to go to some sort of vote. Whether that be like the city council or like at large, that probably is coming down the pike eventually.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I do want to get your opinion here before we sign off to the day. Do you think that today is the last game of the baseball season, or do you think that this series is going back to Los Angeles? If this series goes back to Los Angeles, the Yankees are actually in a pretty decent spot now. You have to do something that no team has won before, but the pressure 100% shifts on the Los Angeles Dodgers of you cannot blow this thing if this series goes back to LA. No World Series has ever gone back to the team that was up 3-0 before. Every team has lost before game 6. So the Yankees avoided the sweep, but now this is where the gentleman sweep usually comes in. This is where the Dodgers win in 5. This has happened in every single World Series of which the team has been up 3-0. So I think the Dodgers win today. I just think it's very obvious that they are a better team than the New York Yankees. I think that has been proven over the first 4 games of this series. I think we see more of that later tonight.
So here's the thing. I agree with you. I think the Dodgers are the better team. I think the Dodgers are still winning this series. I'm not calling for some epic, monumental collapse. But, man, the pitching advantage is really in the Yankees' favor tonight. Gerrit Cole is better than Jack Flaherty. Like, and sometimes it's that simple. And maybe the Dodgers win, but I think they're getting back on a flight to going out to Dodger Stadium. Now, I think once at Dodger Stadium, it's going to be just a coronation and a celebration, and Game 6 is going to get ugly, but I think Yankee Stadium tonight is going to be not the last game of the baseball season. I think we get one more game.
Okay. We'll see. I took a small
tonight,
bet
if you're,
on the
if
Dodgers.
You believe you're right, tonight's tonight
yeah,
to bet
I took
on
a small
them.
Bet on the Dodgers.
Because you're never getting plus money again on the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, I agree. Never. For the rest of the season. So you kind of have to take it. No, I took a small bet on them. I lost my no-sweat parlay yesterday, so they give you your bonus bet. So I just went and rolled it over today to bet on the Dodgers. And
you
hope
got a Freeman home run tonight?
I don't know. I'm not really a home run guy.
I'm just
kidding. In that way,
he's white hot at hitting them.
No,
he can't stop hitting.
You know
World
what? If you want my
runs.
you want my hot take today, I think today Bronny scores. I think Bronny scores today.
Back in Akron, yeah.
They are in Cleveland. I think he plays today, and I think Bronny scores today. I would bet on it. Actually, I think he scores.
The problem is the Cavs are good. Are you going to put Bronny hadn't really played against good teams yet. It's been like a lot of mop-up duty.
No, that's fair.
I mean, the Cavs are undefeated. I know that no
he
one
got in a little bit that first game. He got in a little
They're
bit.
They're up by 20.
He got in a little bit.
They're up by
he
20.
He took a shot, too. He got in and shot a three. He got in and was going to let it fly.
Well, if there's leather on the ball, let it rip.
Oh, yeah, you got to. Hold on. If I know I'm not going to play a line, you put me in the game, I'm shooting. What do you think I'm about to do? I didn't come here to play defense. You think I came here to do? Think I came in here to defend? No, I came in here to let it fly. I'm letting that thing go. That's what I'm doing. All right, I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys did as well. Carrington here, Rob here. Who we hand things off to? Bank!
No, we got that betting show with Alex Gold first.
Oh, Alex up next. Then Bank, the double dip. All right, we'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take care of yourself. Watch the weather tonight. Should be bad. That's what they're saying, at least. Take care of yourself. It's a draft.